Cheryl and I recently had the privilege of going to Mongolia on a Sharim series, followed by about 6 days in Beijing, China. And both trips were fascinating. We thank you for your prayers. I know many were praying for us, and we really appreciate that. That's what we need the very most of, without a doubt. And we have marveled at the technology that is available on this planet at this time. Several of you we talked over the phone with or on the computer. It's just amazing that you can talk to somebody and see them 16 time zones away. Going over, I just was amazed. When you go from San Francisco to Beijing, China, because of the curve of the earth, the flight actually goes up along the coast of the Pacific Northwest, just below Alaska, across the Bering Strait, and then over through Siberia. And amazingly enough, the entire way over was a cloudless sky, and we were in the sunshine all the way over. So we saw Mount Denali over Alaska. We saw all of Siberia, and it just looked frozen solid. To think that a 747 can fly along at 39,000 feet at 600 miles an hour, 85 degrees below zero. I mean, there's just something about that. You know, that must be part of what it meant in the Bible when it says things would get amazing in the last days, and that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached as a result of some of this technology. I know I'm very technologically challenged, but there are some wonderful things out there in regards to the spreading of the gospel story available on modern technology. And that's beyond my understanding, but I'm very thankful for it. So I want to tell you just a little bit about the church in Mongolia and in China. Then we'll have a couple of pictures. Then we'll move into just a few minutes on what does it mean to have a thankful heart. Church in Mongolia is a new church. There's a little similarity between Mongolia and Cuba in that in 1992, the Russians left. And so as the Russian people left, the governments there were left to do whatever governments do to kind of corral the infrastructure of the country. The similar things happened both in Cuba and in Mongolia. There are about 2.3 million people in Mongolia, and I think Mongolia must be about the size of the state of Texas, approximately, and it's sandwiched in between Russia to the north and China to the south. The Mongolian people feel as though the Mongolian Empire was taken away from them, in large part by the Chinese. There are a lot of Mongolians who live down in China. And of course, when we got to China, they felt like the Mongols were occupying their territory. So it just depends on which side of the border you're on, shall we say. But it's the country of who? Genghis Khan. So everything over there has to do with what they call the Genghis. Genghis Khan. Khan meaning king. And so all their culture has to do with Genghis Khan. And they are all children of the king. So when you talk to them about children of the king, they know exactly what you're talking about. Only they're thinking about Genghis Khan. They all consider themselves to be direct descendants of Genghis Khan. When you talk to them about Jesus or Bible characters such as Abraham and Moses, they have no idea who you're talking about. Religions over there are Buddhism, shamanism, animism, and a few Muslims. And there's a few Christians now. We saw some Christian churches. The LDS people had a beautiful sanctuary there not too far from where we had our service. We were in the capital city of Ulaanbaatar, a city of about 1 million people. Heavy traffic, heavy smog, mostly consisting of wood stove and coal smoke. But there was a lot of traffic too. Very fast-paced and modern. The country is now a democracy. And so it has a lot of the forms of what you might expect over there. A lot of free thinking and a lot of entrepreneurialism. Very advanced and a lot of shiny new cars on the street. And it was kind of an amazing thing to see halfway around the world. But, it was wonderful to be there. There's about 27 churches in all of Mongolia, Seventh-day Adventist churches. The total church membership is around 1,200 people. It's a small church. It's only been going for 17 years. And 95% of the church members there could fit in the age group between Katie and Mike Pollock. Everybody in church there is young. You don't see any gray hair whatsoever. They could actually use a few gray heads for some direction, shall we say. They need some maturity, but energy and enthusiasm they have. And so it was very enjoyable to be with them. They, for the most part, have come out of shamanism and Buddhism. The danger is that they add to those beliefs belief of Jesus Christ. And so some of them have a very difficult time, as you might imagine, dishing off the former beliefs that they grew up with and being engaged in the gospel of Jesus Christ and learning about him. But they have enthusiasm. Bob, your nephew, said to pass along their greetings. Bob's relatives are over there, and one of his relatives was, I think, the first missionary to Mongolia about 17 years ago. There's a group of his family members over there doing the work of the Lord, and there's a lot of work to do. But this time we're going to show you a few pictures of our church site. The church that we were in had, on a weekly basis, rented a downtown theater, and that's where they had church. They rented it for 3 hours a week on Sabbath. The government or some entrepreneur rents this building to churches, including some other Sunday churches. And so for 3 hours a week, they have it. So at the end of the service, they pick up everything and it goes to their homes where it stays for all week. And they come back for the next Sabbath for 3 hours again. They start church at 10 o'clock. When we got to China, they start church at 8 o'clock. So it was kind of an interesting, different way of meeting. The church before we got there, and it was called the Amazing Grace Church of Ulaanbaatar, decided that they were going to go out into an outer community. What you have there is a central city of Ulaanbaatar, and it's very commercial, and there's some light industrial area. But the central core of a city, let's just say it's 5 miles across. Everything outside of that is what we would call the suburbs. Over there, suburbs means gers. A ger is a yurt, a building that's round, and out through the top of it comes a smokestack, and it's like a little cabin. So outside this, shall we say, 5 mile circumference, what appears to be a squatter's right community, just oodles of these little gers, communities, and maybe those go out for another 5 miles all the way around the city, maybe 10 miles, I don't know. But our church decided to go out into that community, rent a little hall, and have the series of meetings that we gave out in that community. There were several church members from right around that neighborhood, and so they were charged with inviting their friends and loved ones and so forth. And so that's where we had our series of meetings. We'll just show a couple pictures. This is our Sharium group. Fellow on the right, some of you know as Louis Leonor. The other people have been with Sharium over the years to many different places. You would not believe the stories these people have, by the way. It is just so rewarding to hear the stories of these people's lives. It's just totally amazing. I hope I have a chance sometime to tell you. It's remarkable what God has done in these people's lives. It's just almost unbelievable. This was our group, and we were in our hotel there, and it was a comfortable hotel. It was a little cool. You'll see everybody's dressed pretty warmly wherever we are. Started out in the 30s when we were over there, and by the time we were done, it was 6 below, so it was pretty nippy. There was a gentleman from Michigan who came, who was a dentist, and he brought an entire dental clinic in a large duffel bag, and he would rotate through these church sites there in Ulaanbaatar. And he would have dental clinics, and he would have extractions and teeth cleaning because they're really into sweets over there. They had a lot of extractions. And these people were so thankful to this guy. And he would have prayer over them each time and ask Jesus to help the procedure. And it was just a good witness for these people. And he had this little assistant who just happened to come along, and she was like the ready-made assistant. She learned everything about this procedure. His name was Dr. Westermeyer. He's from the Andrews University area. This is the front of the church where we met on Sabbath. So during the week and during the nightly meetings, we would go out to this site, let's say it was 5 miles out of town. But on Sabbath, we come back to the main church meeting. And this was the entire church congregation here. You can see most everybody is in their 20s. There's a fellow up on the far left. He was probably 50. He's a Russian. He's interpreting the Great Controversy into Russian, by the way. Everybody else was as young as can be. And so it was enjoyable to see their enthusiasm. This is that little community we were talking about of Gares, and there's some houses out here closer to town. There's more of these houses. This was standing on the front of this little rented church building, looking out across the street. We met some Americans, and they told us that that whole valley was empty 15 years ago, and now it's full. People are moving from out in the country into town, and so that's what you get. This is Lewis. Lewis went out to meet some people in this Gare. This is a typical hut, and this is the inside of it. We were in a couple, and they are nice and warm and toasty, let me tell you, because there's a stove, and there's a smokestack going up right here. It's about a 6-inch smokestack, and that's their home, year-round. This is our meeting hall. The meeting hall was about as big as our overflow room. This is the group. This is the pastor of the church. This is our taxi driver and his girlfriend. This is the audio-video man or IT man. This is my interpreter right here and some of the other church people. Very enthusiastic group of people. This is one of the gals that was baptized when we were there. This is the pastor having a little program that they had devised for the youth. These are some Bibles that they have in their own language. Cost around $12 a piece. And so there were several bought and handed out to the visitors who came after they'd been there 5 nights. This is the singing youth group that sang for Sabbath school and church. Karaoke is a huge part of their culture over there. And so that's what they do. They karaoke, sir. This is the front of the downtown church. It was a commercial building. And you go in this door and back or wind your way around and soon you're where they met. Some faces from the front of the church on the steps there. You can see everybody's kind of bundled up warm. This is where we met night by night. These two little girls right here, this one was 9, this one was 11, and they have it right over here, a 7-year-old sister. They just showed up from out in the community. Nobody was really sure how they got there or where they came from, but they showed up. This one attended every single night, and these two both got Bibles because they were so faithful. This is my interpreter. Her name was Eggy, E-G-G-E. And we had a grand time. This is one of the little squirts that was there. This is our pastor. And these people just have their work cut out for them. You know, there's no way to describe the challenges that they have. But pray for them. It's just a very needful situation. Cheryl conducted these little English classes. When we first got there, they said, oh, you got to have English classes. Well, how do you have English classes if you're not a teacher? But anyway, what she did was started reading. Most of these kids can read English, but they don't really know too well what they're reading. But they read out of the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph. They seemed to really enjoy it. So day by day, we'd go through a couple chapters and then explain it. It was quite enjoyable to be with them and do that. These are all kids from the local high school that just heard that they were having some English classes and showed up to listen to these Bible readings. So we were thrilled about that. This was our most faithful attendee, a little lady. With 2 nights left, she went over to Korea. So we're not sure what's going to happen to her, but of course we're praying for her. And she got a Bible, and she was thrilled about that. This young man here came in because of the English classes. 17-year-old kid, he just loved the story of Joseph. And he was there night by night afterwards. And one of his friends right back over here. One night they had a cake, and so somebody's had a birthday, so they tore up the box the cake was in, and that's what everybody ate off of. No forks, yeah, just eat off the cardboard. This is the front of that building. Just before I left, somebody handed me a pretty significant amount of money to take over there. That person will be happy to know that a good chunk of that money will go toward renting this hall. Basically, this is like a branch Sabbath school for this area. It will rent that hall, and then about a quarter of the funds that were sent will be used specifically for evangelism in that area. And then about another 10% of those funds, if the person is listening, went to help young people's programs in the church in China. And so I was so thankful that we had that to give to these people. And someday that person who gave that will have stars in their crown. These are the three baptismal candidates that got baptized while we were there. This is the total group of the four sites in Ulaanbaatar that were baptized. This is a typical downtown street scene. Yeah, you can stand out on the road and put your hand out and somebody will come along and just pick you up. Because it's cold and they just pick you up and take you wherever you want to go. This is a little short clip and the kids singing. Recognize they're singing about Jesus. They call him Jesus, which is similar to the Spanish, only they spell it like this, E-C-Y-C. Their language is like nothing other. This is Sabbath school class. They're studying Sabbath school quarterlies in these little groups. The church in China, over the years, we've heard many things about it that are not necessarily good in regards to their ability to meet and preach and talk and so forth. Well, things have really changed for the church in China. God has really opened up the doors over there. The pastor there estimated there are 4,000 registered members in Beijing, which is a town of 22 million people. But this is that church, and it was packed. This is their choir. You recognize the song? About 800 people that go to that church. They must have separate children's program because we didn't see many kids in there, and then afterwards they were all over the place. It was very interesting and enjoyable to be at the church in China last Sabbath. We felt extremely blessed to be there and to be part of that. Now, I want to talk about the expression of thanks and thanksgiving. Is there any import in giving an expression of thanks? What do you think? Is there anything biblical about that? You know, there is a Bible model of thanks. I looked up several references. There are approximately 140 references to thanks or thanksgiving or thanked or something to the word with thank in the King James Version. We're going to look at a few of those this morning to kind of help us with that Bible perspective. We can start right over here. And here's the first question. When should we be thankful? And Tom's going to read a couple of texts here, one out of 1 Chronicles 23:30, and then one out of Psalms 119:62. When is it that we should be thankful? Tom, go right ahead.
First one says, stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. Psalms says, at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments.
There's a biblical model for thanking God in the morning and in the evening and at midnight. How many of you have ever done that? Thank God at midnight. Thankfully, he wakes us up to do that. Who is it that we give thanks to? 1 Chronicles 29:13 and 14.
Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name, for all things come from you, and of thine own we have given thee.
Okay, 1 Chronicles 29, 13, and 14. Thank you for reading that. It is God that we give thanks to, and he is the one that provides everything for us, is he not? 1 Chronicles 16, 34, and tell us, why is it that we should give thanks?
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We can just thank our Lord that he is there with us.
Yes, and that's an interesting text. Who do you suppose wrote that text there in Chronicles? David, yeah. There must have been, in looking these up, I would just guess there was at least maybe 8 or 10 times that same text is repeated. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy is great. And then the next person we have here is going to tell us, for what time period are we to give thanks? Psalms 30, verse 12, and Psalm 79, verse 13.
O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And then the second part is, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thee thanks forever. So we're to thank him forever.
Okay, there won't ever be a time when we stop thanking God for what he has done for us.
Amen.
For that goodness and mercy that somebody just read about there. Why is it that we are to give thanks? Psalms 92, verse 1. May has that.
It is good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises to thy name. Okay. And I got a call from Nona this morning that she was sick. And that was not a good thing, but it was a good thing. I took over her job, and I didn't know anything of what I was doing. But we muddled through, and thankfully we had some parents that come in with two little ones. Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you, May. So we hear from that, Psalms 92:1. It's a good thing to give thanks just simply because it's a good thing to do. We don't have to explain it all, but we can accept God's word that it's just a good thing to do, and so we're privileged to give thanks to him. Now, what is to be done after giving thanks? Psalms 105:1.
O give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people.
So, what do we do once we give thanks? It seems to prompt some kind of an activity or action. What was that, Bob?
Make known his deeds among the people.
Okay, so we're happy to tell others about him. Psalms 140, verse 13, tells us who it is that gives thanks to God.
Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence.
Hopefully we'll all be identifying ourselves with that group of people. And Michael Pollack has Daniel 2:23 tells us what it is that we are thankful for. See if you can pick out in this text. What are we thankful for there, Michael?
I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known to me what we asked of thee.
So what did you hear there? This is Daniel talking, of course, and he's talking to King Nebuchadnezzar. So he's talking to a pagan, and he's telling him about God, in a sense, in that Nebuchadnezzar is listening in on his conversation between Daniel and God. What did he give him thanks for? Wisdom and what? Might, also known as power. And there was something there at the last. What was that? Knowledge or revelation, wasn't it? He reveals things to us. Now, see if you can just list off a few other things besides those three. Power or might, wisdom, revelation. What are some of the other things that God sends to us as, shall we say, heavenly resources? Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. What else? Understanding, guidance. Those are all good. Any others? Gives us his word, gives us strength, grace, encouragement, faithfulness. Yes, we studied this week about faithfulness. Perseverance,
knowledge,
discerning spirits. Okay. Somebody else? Patience. Yes, here are the patience of the saints. Who?
Peace.
Good. Any others?
Joy.
Safety. Comfort. Trust. Generosity. children, provision, protection, honor, obedience, time, rest, goodness, assistance, repentance, forgiveness, holiness, talents. Lots of different things are entrusted to us, things that we have the privilege of being stewards of as recipients from these heavenly resources. So what is the environment or the location that we should give thanks? Daniel 6:10.
Now Daniel went into his house and with his windows open knelt down on his knees three times a day and gave thanks before his God, just as he'd always done. And it's interesting that it denotes his God. But Daniel was here in captivity in Babylon, where they were pagans, and they worshiped several different gods. And so the Bible emphasizes that he gave thanks to his God. And later on in this story, that came before all of Babylon when he defied Nebuchadnezzar's order to bow down before this image. And as a consequence, his friends were thrown in the fiery furnace as a demonstration to the power of God. And then Nebuchadnezzar then had to admit that Daniel's God was the true living God. And it's just fortunate he didn't carry through with that necessarily.
And the point of this text is that we have the opportunity, we have the privilege of developing these good habits. The end of the text there said, as Daniel was accustomed to doing. In other words, he had developed these habits three times a day. And when something came up that was a challenge for him, he wasn't dissuaded by that. He just kept right on doing it. Whether it was out where people could see him or whether it was not, he just kept doing what he was used to doing. He had developed that communication channel with God and was going to continue doing that. What was Jesus thankful for? Matthew 11:25, Matthew 15:36, and Luke 22:17-19. What was Jesus thankful for?
I thank thee, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave them to his disciples. And he took the cup and gave thanks, and he took the bread and gave thanks, and brake it, saying, remember, I am doing this for you.
So these three texts tell us that Jesus was, first of all, thankful for credible and timely information. Matthew 11:25 says that. Credible, timely information. He got that from his Father. And then, on the surface, he was thankful for food and drink, which we tend to be thankful for. But what was that a symbol of? Yeah, it was a symbol of what he was going through for us. And he was thankful even for that. We all know the difficulty that he was met with. So he was symbolically saying to his disciples, I'm even thankful for what I'm going to go through for you. Remember now, this is what I've done for you. These are all things that we can be thankful for. Romans 1:21-22 will tell us what the consequences are for failing to be thankful.
Because that when they know God, they glorify him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and in their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools.
Pretty self-explanatory, isn't it? Next point is, what have we been given to be thankful for? 1 Corinthians 15:57. 2 Corinthians 9:15.
But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Corinthians 9:15, 2 Corinthians, thanks be unto God for his priceless gift. Don't know if you got all of that.
So we have been given the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then later on, Paul calls that the priceless gift. So I hope that we all value that to the point that we should, and then are grateful for it. Thank you, Bob. Now let's see. Number 13 is, how inclusive is to be our thanks? And that's Ephesians 5:20 and 1 Thessalonians 5:18.
giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Did you hear what she said? Everything, in everything give thanks. The story comes to mind about John the Baptist. What do you know about John the Baptist? If you were asked to recite six facts about John the Baptist, what would you say about him? Okay, he was a voice in the wilderness, and he was somewhat confrontational, wasn't he? What else? Richard.
Satan couldn't penetrate him.
He was a stalwart, wasn't he? What else do we know about John the Baptist? He was the greatest prophet.
He was willing to increase Christ's increase.
So he had a level of humility. He knew his role. Can you imagine how thankful he was when he got thrown in jail? You know? Now, I mean, think about it. His cousin was the Messiah. Can you imagine him sitting in jail being thankful because his cousin was the Messiah and he knew that any moment the Messiah was going to come and get him out of jail? How thankful he must have been for that. But what happened? Never happened, did it? Never happened. Was he still thankful? He was still thankful, wasn't he? So, that gets back to being thankful in all things. Being thankful. Boy, how would you like to be considered the greatest by Jesus Christ? That's amazing. You have to think about the different characteristics of John the Baptist. And I had to ask myself the question, how many of those characteristics do I have? Number 14, Colossians 3:15. What other godly characteristics or qualities accompany thanks?
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, you were called in one body, and be thankful.
So when you see thankfulness around, what else do you see? Read it again, Bill. What kind of things hang around with thankfulness?
And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful.
What hangs around with thankfulness? Peace and unity. That's right. So when you see thankfulness, you see peace and unity hanging around with thankfulness. Those three go together. That's a wonderful text. And as you know, Colossians has a very special meaning for us Laodiceans, does it not? Revelation 7, verse 11 and 12. Who is it that we join in with in heavenly thanks? Ben has it. Who is it that we join with in heavenly thanks?
All the angels stood around the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and peace, power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Ben. Now, you notice that these different models or expressions of thanksgiving in the Bible are almost always associated with what? Praise. There's always some action associated with thanksgiving. So when we say, are you thankful for thanksgiving? Are you thankful for this or that or the other? It's one thing to say that we're thankful for it, but it's something else to respond to that level of thankfulness. The various expressions in the Bible of thankfulness or thanksgiving is frequently referenced along with praise, prayer, music, service, and what else? Offerings. And I was just thinking this morning as LaVon was playing, is she thankful? You bet. It was all over her face, wasn't it? And the music that she chose, that's an expression of thankfulness. Well, that was one of those questions that everybody has to ask themselves, Bob. Are we really thankful? The action of thanks is frequently referenced as praise, prayer, music, service, and offerings. It's not simply enough to say, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful for that. The biblical model always includes an expression of action with thankfulness. So we must ask ourselves these questions. Do I sincerely value these heavenly resources that have been placed in my stewardship? Or do I just treat them as something to talk about or something to say, well, I'm thankful, yeah, sure, yeah, I'm thankful. Or does that actually produce something? Do my actions reflect a thankful heart? What is the evidence of thankfulness in my life? These are questions I have to ask myself. What is the evidence of thankfulness in my life? And now I have another question for you. What does a thankful church look like? What does a thankful church look like? You can read a lot about end time events simply by reading the last portion of several of the Gospels. Jesus was talking about end time events when he mentioned to his disciples the following: when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations. At that time he will separate them one from the other. Thus Christ, upon the Mount of Olives, there pictured to his disciples the scene of the great judgment day. And he represented its decision as turning upon one point. What was that one point? Jesus was talking to his disciples about the judgment, and he was saying that there is one point in the judgment that everything will turn on. What was that one point? How many seasoned Christians do we have here? Maybe 75? What is the one point that everything turns on in the judgment? Sabbath keeping? Faith. Now, none of this is new information to you. And I would like to submit to you that this is the basis of a thankful heart. Christ represents the decision of the judgment as turning upon one point. When the nations are gathered before him, their eternal destiny will be determined by what they have done or have neglected to do for him in the person of the poor and the suffering. In that day, Christ does not represent before men the great work that he has done for them in giving them his life for their redemption. He presents the faithful work that they have done for him to those whom he sets upon his right hand, to those that Christ commends in the judgment, may have known little of theology, but they have cherished his principles. Through the influence of the divine spirit, they have become a blessing to those about them. So, I think that's what a thankful church must look like. Service to others. That's a biblical model. Christ pictured to his disciples the scene of the great judgment and represents its decision as turning on one point. When the nations are gathered before him, their eternal destiny will be determined by what they have done or what they have neglected to do for him in the person of the poor and the suffering. We're in a certain time in this earth's history whereby there is becoming an increasing discrepancy between the rich and the poor. Do you recognize that? It's really obvious in these other countries. It's becoming more obvious here. And what that means is that we're going to have more and more opportunities to help out with not only the salvation of other people, but to help them in regards to the items that Christ mentioned. What are those items, by the way? Do you know? Food, water, shelter, clothing, encouragement. Those five things. You can read about it in Matthew 25. And I think that we could say, this is an expression of thankfulness. Then the king shall say unto those on the right hand, come, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. And I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will say to him, when did we do all that? And he will say, inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me. So I would say, may God give us the heart of Jesus and the discernment to recognize and deal with those who are poor and suffering around us. Then we will be good stewards of heavenly resources, and we will be modeling the gift of thankfulness. Thank you for taking part in the service this morning. And I hope that being thankful will have just a little different perspective for you. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, it is with gratitude and thankfulness that we say we're thankful for Jesus Christ. Where would we be, Father, without your Son, his death, his sacrifice for us, that priceless gift? We would ask that you would help us in turn to use those resources that you send us, and they are numerous. We've listed just but a short list of those things and many wonderful things that you send to us every day. You see to it that we're blessed beyond words, beyond measure. Help us to, in turn, use those resources to show our thankfulness, our gratitude to you. We know that you will enable us to do that, and we praise your name for it. Now we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.